Pass the salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Another one of those days where I got about 17 different directions to go, and we're going to have to engage, friends. We're going to have to engage in what is the great cultural war. Let me lay a couple things out I want to talk about today. I hope we get to all of them. Number one, the Republican Party is doing everything they can to destroy MAGA. I hope you get it, because they're looking, understanding that Trump will be in there maybe three more years, and they want a government. They want old Republicanism back the way it used to be. And Trump ain't old Republicanism. That's a war. I'm going to point that war out to you. It's going on right now too. And there's a lot of things. But before I do, because I think this is really, really important. David Arthur had the opportunity yesterday again to speak to the high school kids that I got to speak to. And I want you to hear some of this, because as I said to you earlier last week when I got back. The kids and folks, if you think the kids in public schools, the Christian kids in public schools are Christian, you have got another thing coming. they got no clue on Christianity. So praise God, David didn't get to go into the classroom because he lives in Maine, but he went into God bless Worthington Kilbourne for allowing him to come in, and he zoomed his way in, did four classes yesterday about transgenderism. That kingdom's coming down, folks. That kingdom's coming down. But the only thing that will bring that kingdom down is truth. Truth. And to think about our public schools, I used to be a public school teacher. I'm guilty. My wife was a public school teacher. She probably wasn't as guilty. But the reality of it is teaching lies to our children. Teaching lies to our children. I'm going to say it again. You and I are paying to teach lies to our children. And I'm going to give David a few minutes here. Here's what I probably, if he would probably agree with me, although he wasn't face to face with him. Even the Christians in that class aren't Christians. They're not Christians, folks. They don't have a Christian worldview. They have a type of Christian worldview. They have a Jesus loves everybody. Jesus forgives everybody. I'm okay. You're okay. Worldview of Christianity. But they don't have a good versus evil. In fact, most Christianity today doesn't even teach that there is such a thing as evil. There's no such thing as evil. Huh? They're just choices. And if you oppose it, you're the bigot. So I know David's going to, I'll say this about David Arthur and his failings and fall back and all that stuff. I don't know how many people would give their life to taking care of their mother. And David Arthur is in some ways shackled where he is because he is daily caring for his mother. How many of you would do that? I feel guilty sometimes because I had four brothers and a sister, and we let my mom go into a nursing home. We let her go into a nursing home. Now, she liked it because, there were other old people there. But the reality of it is, I should have been putting my mom in the shower, not somebody at Chapel Grove. So, we all have our own particular type of sins. David Arthur every day gets up and takes care of his mama. So with all of his failings, that would certainly be something a lot of us could emulate. People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. So David, I'm not going to give you a month. Come on in. Give us a quick overview of what happened to you yesterday.
It was pretty phenomenal, Coach. I've been in there physically, and I've zoomed in a few more times, and I can actually say that I was more encouraged by the reaction and the personability of the students yesterday than I ever have. And they didn't interact as much as they used to, but there was more. You could just look at them. You could see their faces. You could see they were thinking. They were taking notes, especially when I said very like personable things about people in their lives. There was a young lady that had a brother, and I kind of touched on that about loving our family members to death. by not telling them the truth or not wanting to find out what's wrong with them. And I really think that so I'm working on more video clips, and I'm just going to put the whole entire thing out there.
Can we go ahead and play this one right up here, David? So again, David was, he was not personally, there's a difference, folks, when you're in the room with the people and you can read their eyes and reactions. David did it by Zoom. So we have to understand that. But yeah, he sent this to me this morning. I looked at this. Hey, I love that line when you say that you love him to death. Yeah. We really are, aren't we, David?
Yeah, love him to light. Really, we really are. Truth, or love him to death with your silence.
We're loving him to death with our silence. Go ahead and play that clip.
Push these relationships and these bonds with people, because I just want people to understand that if you love somebody, then you should want to love them to life, that you should want to love them so much that you want to know that they have peace of mind and true peace of mind. So especially when we're looking at trans-identified people, even I tell parents, I get to talk to a lot of parents, and if you truly love someone who is trans-identified, then you're going to love them enough to want to know what happened to them to cause their condition. You're going to love them enough to want to tell them the truth. I remember when I was on my deathbed and my niece came in and she was like, I love you, Uncle David. And I was like, you love me to death? She's like, yeah, I love you to death. And I was like, that's the problem. Everybody around me loved me to death by not telling me the truth. They loved me to death with their silence or their participation in my delusions. And that's what I want everyone to understand, that I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure that most people in this classroom right here have someone in their life that is trans-identified, or at least a part of that movement, if they're not trans-identified or confused. So my question is, do you love that person enough to not partake of their delusion? Do you love them enough, even if you don't fully believe what I'm saying, do you love that person enough to take into consideration that what I'm saying might be the truth, might be fact? Because that is reality. Reality is that there are too many people.
The idea, folks, that because you love them, David's talking about loving them to death, that you would encourage someone to cut off their sexual organs for the rest of their lives. That's loving somebody. Go ahead.
People out there that are dwelling within this mental illness, I see you, bro, that are dwelling within this and that need clarity in their lives. Go ahead.
Okay, so my question is, I don't think we're going to agree on the idea that it is mental illness. So beyond that, you say that transgenderism is mental illness. I guess my question is, why does it matter if someone wants to be transgendered, even if that is coming from like a place of like trauma or something like that? If that is their trauma response, why does that matter to everyone else?
So let's say that their trauma response is to cut their wrists. Is that okay? Would you promote that? Would you encourage that? Would you tell them it's okay? If you want to end your life, end it. Here, here's the razor blade. Here's a gun. Here's a bottle of pills. Because, okay. And I want you to just think about that. We don't have to agree on everything, but I want you to think about what I just said, because it's so important. Because we're talking about people. Why does it matter if it's a mental illness? And you can disagree with it, but by definition, dysphoria, the D-Y-S means an abnormal condition. Phoria means mental confusion. So it is an abnormal condition of mental confusion. There's no getting around that. By definition, that's what it is. So because of that, and not all people who fall under the trans umbrella or fall under that trans identification are gender dysphoric, because there are other people who fall under that same umbrella, more dangerous people, people that are AGP or autogynephiles. These are people who are sexually aroused, not just by thinking of themselves as women, but by wearing women's clothing. These are also the men
that are pushing and fighting for trans rights that are getting placed into women's prisons and are going into women's spas and women's locker rooms. These are the men that are pushing that agenda. And why are they pushing it? Because these men are sexual deviants. So there's so many different people that fall under that trans identification umbrella that the one thing that you can be sure of is that every single one of them suffer from their own type of mental disorder, from different types of mental disorders.
Wow. David, you are doing great harm to the transgender movement, folks. Look, it's the same thing. I use this illustration. I know you got to go, Dave, so I'll get you in here real quick. Hey, folks, you ever heard anybody who was anorexic? What was anorexic? Anorexic was someone who looked at themselves in the mirror and thought they were overweight. And you looked at them and they were starving themselves to death. And you did everything you could to change their mindset. You are not overweight. You're not overweight. And no matter how you said it, you could not break through that dysphoria. And so whatever transgenderism is, whether it's chemical, whether it's emotional, whatever it is, the reality of it is we do not want to engage in the promotion of this dysphoria. And that's what we're doing. Go ahead, Dave.
You know what, Coach? The only thing that can really defeat this spiritual oppression or this mental disorder, as we know it, you know, here on this earthly world as a mental disorder, but the only thing that can defeat it is the truth. And if nobody speaks the truth to these people, then they're never going to be defeated. This spirit will never be defeated. They will suffer, and this is the way they will die. They will destroy themselves. So puberty blockers and wrong sex hormones are psychotropic drugs that create psychopathic people. If we look at them, we can see from the last how many mass shooters that were trans identified in some way, shape, or form. Now, these were the people that are being destroyed by these poisons that are being poured into their bodies.
So it's one dysphoria multiplied by another dysphoria of drugs and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. And that's what makes them. That's why I believe the left and the Islams are using and pushing and promoting transgenderism the way that they are, because they are creating themselves super soldier martyrs. So now pretty boys like Mamdani don't have to die for his religion, because he's going to have thousands of trans identified super soldiers to die for him.
Oh my goodness, Mike. Hey folks, remember this: at the end of the day, or the beginning of the day, it's the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, folks.
Thank you, Coach.
That's it. You got to run?
I do. I got to get ready to take my mom to a doctor's appointment.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
All right, buddy.
God bless everybody.
Amen. Amen. Wow, huh? Wow. See, that puts a whole new perspective on it for all of us. All of us. How many of you, not transgenderism or homosexual, how many of you are afraid to speak about the dysphoria you see in your own family? Your children's confused, your nephew, your niece, you're looking at them and you're playing along. You're playing along with their dysphoria. Rather than we think love is acceptance. See? No. When the Lord loves, he chasteneth. And you know what happens? You don't want to chasten them because you say, what's going on? I'm going to make me break fellowship with them. Well, look, you ain't in fellowship with them anyway. All you're doing is being complicit in their lie. And you're complicit in their lie because you don't want to say anything, because you don't want to break the relationship. You don't have to say amen. I live it. I know what I'm talking about, right? And so we've been taught in modern America that it's loving to accept their mental illness. Rather than, as David would say, I've heard him say this, his mom said to him, I didn't raise no girl. I don't care what you think, I didn't raise any girl. And at the heart of all this is delusion. So I'm telling you this, I cannot believe, somebody we ought to pray for, I'm not going to say his name, is the teacher in that class that let David Arthur in this pro-gay, pro-homosexual, pro-gender, pro-transgender culture in which we live. You mean the teacher let this come in the midst of that? Folks, this is, oh boy, you talk about destroying idols. My, my, my. Come on in, Mel. Come in quickly, Mel. Not quickly. Come on in, Mel.
Yeah, thanks. So, you know, I think that we all know different people. And I know that the Bible says to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. So where I find myself is that, you know, I speak the truth and then I kind of follow the Bible and have nothing to do with them. So I don't know. Like, what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, well, hey, remember this, Mel. Bible says, Jesus himself said, you're going to be hated of all men. Why are you going to be hated of all men? Because you don't buy into their lie. And you tell somebody the truth, they don't want to hear it, man. They don't want to hear it. And then they find a buddy who doesn't want to hear it. And then they find another person who doesn't want to hear it. And the next thing you know, you have no relationship with your son. Because he would rather listen to lies. And that's what we're all dealing with. Now understand this, it's all spiritual. Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. It's all spiritual. But all of us sit here guilty today, including this guy right here, by permitting the American government to take Christ out of our education. And that's why I said to Dave, if David had more time, maybe I'll get him back in here. If he had more time, here's the truth. The Christians in that classroom, they couldn't make it. They call it apologetics. Apologetics doesn't mean you're apologizing for Christianity. Apologetics means defense of it. And those kids in there cannot defend Christianity. They can't do it. They can't do it. And I can, why? Because we don't teach it. We don't teach it. And I can't imagine how some of those kids, if they had the chance, I know when I went there, I told you, when I went there, when the class was over, the Christian kids would not leave me. They stood around me, more, more, give me 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 more. I can't imagine if they had the opportunity, how many of those kids would sat around with David Arthur and say, give me more, give me more. Because there's a great hunger for truth. And we're lying to them. We're lying to them. Craig, come on in.
Well, I was involved in prison ministry and people that have addiction problems. And one of the biggest pieces of advice that really changed my trajectory is, says you have to earn a right to speak into their heart.
That's right.
Because they have boundaries. Okay. So you can come out here and you can lay down all your truth. You can lay down all your little things. Okay. And it's going to wash off them like water on a turtle. It says until you earn the right to speak into their heart, which is to their spirit, they're not going to hear you. And the question is, are we here to proclaim the truth, but are we looking at the outcome to penetrate that truth into their spirit? And what I'm just going to say, and I put in the chat, is what you witnessed with David is he was earning the right to speak into their heart. Amen. And they're going to remember that conversation.
Amen.
And we have to realize that, because you know what, Jesus didn't just come in here and say, hey, you know, I'm son of God, you know, boom. He earned the right to speak into these people's hearts, and they wanted to hear what he had to say. That's when real communication takes place, and that's when
Craig, let me use this example again, because I think it's a good example. By the way, I got somewhere else I'm heading today. Just hang in there with me a second. Anorexia nervosa. Anorexia. You've dealt with someone with anorexia, right? I mean, we know the people who are anorexic often end up in the hospital because they're starving themselves to death, thinking they're fat. Now, that's a dysphoria, isn't it? Isn't that dysphoria? Anybody ever dealt with somebody who's anorexic? You can't convince them, friends. You can't convince them. And so what do we do with transgenderism? Well, there's something dysphoric, homosexuality, something happened that caused that dysphoria. And do we make it better by embracing it? Well, it's a tough one, isn't it? It's a tough one. God, grace of God, we didn't have any gay children. I don't know if we have any gay grandchildren, and I would love them just as much as anybody else. But I couldn't embrace that. How do I embrace that? Knowing it's a dysphoria. What caused it? I don't know. Did I cause it? I'm sorry if I caused it. I was an overbearing dad. What was it? I'm sorry. But at the end of the day, you're responsible for your own behavior, and I'm responsible for my own behavior. And I'm going to tell you something. That ain't right. That ain't right. I still love you, but that ain't right. And I think we're being taught, even in the church, the opposite. We're being taught of that. And you can love your homosexual child, your transgender child, your drug abuse child, your anorexic child. You can love them and still not accept what they're doing. And I think that's one of the places that we're tripping up in this whole fight against this stuff, right? They call it hate, right? Hate. Their fallback position is hate. If you criticize anything, you hate. You criticize Israel, you hate Jews. You criticize Islam, you hate Muslims. You criticize women, you hate women. You, folks, it's their fallback position. Because why? How do you prove you don't hate somebody? How do you prove that? And so they label you hater, hater, hater. Well, you know why they hate you? Because you have a love of the truth. And they don't. They're dysphoric. Lorraine.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Just from somebody who's had eating disorders, it's meeting the person, because I needed somebody to tell me when I was like got down to 110 pounds that they
and saw nobody me. Could nobody could convince you weren't overweight, right,
Lauren? No, because when I looked in the mirror, all I seen was all my imperfections and that I was overweight, and that I could, and what I needed was somebody to show me compassion and not condemnation, but you can show compassion with love, right?
Yep.
And tell me the truth and like that I cared. Because what was happening with me is nobody bothered to ask me what the pain was, because I just wanted the pain to stop. And I could never be thin enough, pretty enough, or whatever, because of what I was going through with my family.
And it was emotional.
It was emotional, but I was in so much pain and nobody saw me. There was no one saw me. Like, and that was like the whole thing. And that's where, when you come and you come along somebody, because just like what David said, no response is still a response. No action is still an action. Right. So you're loving them to death and you don't Yep. say anything. Because yep. you don't want to hurt them or do whatever. Well, they're dying inside, and you're just, you might as well just, you know, what says that you don't have the final bullet to kill them? Because you didn't say anything, or you didn't do anything, or you didn't show up, or you didn't send them a card and let them know that they matter, or say, I love you. You know,
it's. Lauren, the five saddest words put together in the English language is this. Are you ready, friends? I saw that one coming.
100%. Boom, Coach.
Yep. I saw that one coming. I'm not surprised. I saw that one coming. And didn't do anything about it. You saw it coming and you didn't do anything about it. Because culture and society would tell you, you're not to judge, right? Huh? You're not to hate. And so we sit around and we look at ruined lives. And I said, dude, I saw that one coming. That's where we are. And the culture, Christianity, is teaching us not to judge. And because we think we're not supposed to judge, we don't even speak the truth. Because the truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. Still love that t-shirt. James Thomas, come on in.
Yeah, well, I think it's a powerless gospel that really the church is. You know, when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, it was the young, it was the old, they were all wicked. Yep. So God destroyed it. I mean, he just obliterated the place. Those spirits never left. I mean, they didn't die. They still roam the world. And
that's right.
This is exactly why the church, if you read Romans 1, judgment on a nation is exactly Romans 1. And the church has the power to stop it through the blood of the Lamb and the word of her testimony and the power of the Holy Ghost. but we failed to do it because
James, we have the duty. We have the responsibility to do it, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just, you know, it's the layout of seeing church. There's no other way to say it, you know.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I've given you power over all the works of the enemy, all of it. So if it's taking place in your family, if it's taking place in your community, it's because you're not taking authority over it. I can guarantee you can take the most dominant homosexual place. You could send a crew of Bible-believing Christians to San Francisco and bind it, and you, it may take a while because, you know, warfare, Satan's not going to give up turf, but I would say within 1 year that it would be drastically changed because the authority is in the believer.
Amen.
But we appeased it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So folks, I'm wondering about this. What if you weren't feeling well? I'll use me as an example. I wasn't feeling real well a year ago. I was hurting. Couldn't hardly get around. And so I went to the doctor, didn't want to, because I don't trust him, but I went to the doctor, and the doctor said that I was dealing with gout. And gout is caused, took me through diet, yada, blah, blah, all this stuff. How many of you would say to your doctor, well, who are you to judge? Who are you to judge, doc? You said I have gout because I'm eating wrong food. Well, who are you to judge what foods I eat, right? We don't, folks, we don't apply that philosophy anywhere else other than when we're dealing with one another. Cause and effect. I'm not judging. I'm saying, hey, dude, are you doing this? And this is happening. Dude, right? Come on. But we've allowed them to shove us back in the box by calling us judgmental, hateful, yada, 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 yada. That's where we are. That's what we're dealing with. Oh my goodness, James, the hand's still up. Anybody else? Because I'm gonna go another direction here in a second.
If you change the language and you change the culture and
change, you know, the words, change the world, James.
Call out sin is not judging.
Right. That's right. Change the words, change the world, and that's what they've done to us. And so most Christians have been taught not to judge. I'm not judging. I'm witnessing. I'm evaluating. Hey, that happened to me. You better stop that. That's not judging. Adam.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, the word judge in the Bible basically means to make a spiritual appraisal of something. And doesn't the Bible say that a spiritual man appraises all things spiritually?
He who is spiritual judges all things, it says. Yep. So we testify, we witness, we don't judge, whatever that means. But see, they've taken that word and made you, if you judge, you're a bad guy. But if you're on Dancing with the Stars and then you're a judge, you're a good guy. And see, we've allowed that word judge to become something it totally wasn't. Craig.
Well, absolutely. And this is, you know, this is where you're speaking into their hearts, right? And judges don't make laws, they enforce laws.
That's okay. Right.
So we're not enforcing, I mean, Christ is ultimately going to enforce the law about whether you're a homosexual or not. I'm not, but I'm here to testify that you're breaking the law. And that puts a different connotation on it, you know, because then you're just speaking truth, right, to lies. And then that does, because the devil has taken judge and it makes you automatically respond without really thinking through what you're really responding to. And that's where he wants to get us.
So, folks, we have a couple things to consider. As I said, I can't figure this whole thing. I don't know what people would say to me. Well, what made you be attracted to women? It was just natural. Yeah, it was. I do. I get that. But anybody out there besides me, so old that you remember the guys who were cross-dressers and they hid in dark alleys? They were always there, but there really weren't many of them. And then when they begin to recognize cross-dressers and then began to call it a transgender, change the words, change the world, all of a sudden it became acceptable. They came out of the closet and it became acceptable. Well, when you come out of the closet and say, listen, I'm a man, I feel like a woman, that's a cry for help, not acceptance. Now, look, come on, folks. Would any of you out there, if any of your children, anybody had a mental disorder, whether it be anorexia, whatever it would be, how many of you agree with that? Buy into that. Rather than saying to your son, dude, you're missing it here. Hey, dude, no. No, you weren't born that way. No, you weren't. But the culture's telling the culture, the devil is telling them they were. That's where the battle lies. Man, I got some stuff I want to get to. Jeff Nears, come on in.
Oh, hey, good morning, Coach. I'm just saying that, you know, and I said before, but, you know, it started with Hollywood. You can go back to innocent shows like even Andy Griffith, where Barney dresses up as a woman a couple different times. I mean, shows like that. And Flip Wilson, you know, he was wildly popular.
The devil made me do it, right? The devil made me do it.
Geraldine, yeah. And just so many incidences where they made it funny and we all laughed at it. And it was sort of so-called innocent, quote, innocent, you know, laughter and so outrageous, but it became more and more and more acceptable.
So Jeff, do you ever look at a transgender? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how many I've actually seen, maybe a handful in my life, transgender. Does anybody look at them and think they're normal? Does anybody think that's normal? Why do we act like it is?
Go to Kroger late at night. You'll see.
Kroger late at night, right? So, oh my God, is that because why? It's a freak, right? It's a freak. You used to call it freak accidents. Remember that? Hey, Spencer, look that word up, freak. Johnny, I'll be right with you. Freak. Freak. I always go to Webster. It's just easy to do it. Freak. A very unusual and unexpected event or situation. So a man wanting to be a woman, that's a freak. Sorry. Huh? Literally a sudden startling or a sudden causeless change or turn of the mind. What? A whim or a fancy, a capricious prank. That's freak. Huh? Transgenders, a freak. They're causeless change or turn of the mind. But there is a cost. Is it the chemtrails? Is it the water? Is it the food? I mean, there's something. Got to be. It's spiritual. We know that, right? There's something causing it. But just because someone is ill doesn't mean it's acceptable. That's where we've messed up. Johnny.
Good morning, Coach. Thanks. Yeah, you said change the language. You know, my mind keeps scrambling as far back as I can think, and I think about George Bush Sr. Way back when he started beating the drum, a new world order, and they keep beating that drum.
Yep.
I mean, how many years ago was that?
Well, 1980, when he president, 80 through 84, I think, right? Yeah. Started talking about a new, Spencer, I bet you could do that real quick. I'll give you $5. Google, as we're doing this, just behind the scenes, Google George Bush and New World Order speech. Because he launched it. He launched it, and we didn't do anything about it. Here it is, one minute.
Here it was September 11th, September 11th, 1990.
September 11th, 1990. Amazing. 1 minute.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind, peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law.
And so I say we must clean the house of white America of racism. Americans who are in the white majority should be proud to stand up and be heard denouncing the sort of racist rhetoric we heard on that tape, so loudly and clearly denouncing it that our black fellow citizens can hear us. White racism may be black people's burden, but it's white people's problem. We must clean.
Do you think there's anybody? Was there anybody more racist probably in this heart than Bill Clinton? I mean, it's crazy. Isn't it crazy how they program us? A new world order. And have you noticed this? Sorry. It's always the whitey. It's always whitey that's doing it. It's always whitey. That daggone white guy. That daggone white guy, he hates Muslims. That daggone white guy, why he hates Jews. That daggone white guy, why he hates blacks. Why that daggone white guy, he hates Michigan. Have you noticed it, folks? Have you noticed it? The Anglo-Saxon male in particular is the one guy that you can beat up and nobody going to defend you. That's why they all do it. Bill Clinton. I wonder how many words time in his life he used the word nigger. Anybody ever think he ever used it? Come on, man. Come on. Oh, I got so much. Okay, let me pull up. I'm going to shift gears. Okay. Shift gears. Name calling. Republicans hate Trump. Okay. I want you to understand what's going on here. Okay. Wait a minute. Let me. Okay. I'm going to try to show you something, folks. The political system, Republican, Democrat, left, right, it's all made up. That is all made up. And it's all made up because they want to divide and conquer. So that's what they want to do. So what we are seeing, I'm going to show you a little bit of evidence here. The Republican, you better hear what I'm about to tell you. The Republican Party hates MAGA. What is MAGA? Well, it's this make America great again idea. That's this Trumpism. And say what you want to about Donald Trump. The MAGA guys hate MAGA because why? It is shaking their tent. That's what's going on. Real quickly, Spencer, pull up list of members of the United States Congress by longevity. Just click on that. Look at these folks. People have been in Congress. Look at Charles Grassley. Has been there 50 years, number 7. He's been there 50 years, 321 days as a Republican. Do you think Charles Grassley supports Trump, or is he just riding out Trump, waiting for the next Republican to come in? And he doesn't like what Trump's doing because it's shaking his, oh yeah, Markley. Look at this Markley guy's been there. He's a Democrat, but he's been there 49 years. Come on, scroll on. See, we need term limits. that's what we need. Trying to help you to understand this, that the Republicans in Congress, they have established their position, their donors, their wing, whatever you want to call it, and they're going to ride out the storm. They hate MAGA. Why? Because MAGA challenges the kingdom that they've built. Every one of them. And so we're starting to see within now in America a bold attack on MAGA from the Republicans. It's coming, folks. It's coming. Why? Because they know, like him or not like him, they know Trump's got three years left. They're done. So now they're all positioning themselves to continue to butter their own bread. Chuck Grassley, 50 years. In Congress. 50 years. That would be 1975. He was elected in 1975. Still getting elected over and over and over. Talk about gridlock. Look, this is pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. So here's what I want to show you something. Pull up. Make sure. Megyn Kelly. Oh, my goodness. Folks, here's the subtle divide. Okay. Here's the subtle divide that's going on in MAGA. Come on, don't miss this. In MAGA, we're now seeing a civil war break out between those who support Israel and those who don't. And if you don't support Israel, there's a fight going on, folks. There's a fight going on within the Republican Party. Listen to Megyn Kelly here.
I'll be there. Lots of us are going. And Tucker apparently asked Mark Levin to debate him. at the Turning Point event, or so says Mark Levin. Mark Levin went public by reading Tucker's texts saying, you know, he asked me to do this thing with him, and then just went off about how over his dead body would he ever share the stage with this disgusting anti-Semite, and like just a vile attack on Tucker, whom he's literally been comparing to a Nazi. And I just think this is like...
Hang on. Don't miss this, folks. This is the fight within the Republican Party. And say what you want to about... I don't care what side you come down on the GOP. I don't care about that. But you better understand that that's where the battle is being drawn in the Republican Party. Those who have forever supported Israel, and those who are saying, wait a minute. Mark Levin did the most vicious attack on Tucker Carlson. They used to be buddies over what? Anti-Semitism, whatever the hell that means.
Splitting hairs.
Folks, you better understand this. There's a power base in Washington, D.C. that is fighting to maintain control after MAGA is gone. Come on now. When Trump's off the scene, who is going to fill that void of that strong person? Love him or not love him, doesn't matter. That strong person, who's going to fill that void? And they all know it. In fact, they're counting down 3 more years, and he's out of here, and they're positioning themselves for what? A return to old conservative Republicanism? Or this new one. That's where the fight is. Keep going. That's what Epstein was about, by the way. That's what Epstein was about. Blackmail to control these guys. Go ahead.
This is so far beyond. We just finished like a several year period where we tried to make clear to the left that those terms are not acceptable in the public dialogue. They are too incendiary. They're going to get somebody killed, like President Trump. Or Charlie Kirk. With him, it was fascist. With Trump, it was both. And we should not be resurrecting terms like that to attack or undermine fellow conservatives with whom we have a disagreement on Israel. Here's just a little of that.
Then we have on the fascistic, neo-Nazi, freeze this.
You understand Mark Levin is a Jew, for whatever that's worth, it doesn't matter. He's one of the horns of the Republican conservative right, and he is now attacking another member of the conservative. There's a great rift. You don't see it all yet, but that's where it is, between those who believe Israel and those who don't believe it. That's the fight that's going on. That's the fight that's going on.
Satan is real, buddy.
Satan is real, man.
He has got his toes in the water and stirring it up.
So Mark Levin, Fox News, that's where Tucker was, Fox News. This is a frontal assault. Go back a little bit on that, Spencer. Folks, I don't care where you stand on Israel. But you better understand, this is their positioning for power. Go ahead.
Just a little of that.
Then we have on the fascistic... neo-Nazi,
he's calling another
radical
conservative
right. And by the
fascist.
Way, I'm not talking about constitutional conservatives.
Oh, no, no.
Not
no.
In the least.
Freeze it. See, that's what I've been saying to you all along. Conservatism is pretend salt. I'm with my shirt. It's conservatism ain't Christianity, folks. It ain't Christianity. It's pretend salt. It's fake salt. Now we see one conservative Jew attacking a conservative who maybe isn't in support of Jew. You see the fracturing that's taking place? You see it? I'm going to shut up. Go back and start him again. And listen to the names that Mark Levin calls his guy who's on his team. Tucker's on Mark Levin's team, I thought. Go ahead.
Then we have on the fascistic, neo-Nazi, radical right, and by the way, I'm not talking about constitutional conservatives.
Oh, no.
Not
no,
in
no,
the
no.
least. We're not on the radical right. We're right in the center. And I don't mean ideologically, I mean we're right in the center. We support the Constitution, the Declaration, the founding, and everything that was done to create this nation. How can we be?
Does he support Jesus Christ? Does Mark Levin support Jesus Christ? Oh, he's got his own conservatism. Folks, can't you see it? Can't you see it? Conservatism is pretend salt. It's not Christianity. Go ahead.
The right wing. Right wing of what? These people are not America first. America first isn't evil over good. America first isn't tyranny over liberty. America first isn't sounding like the Marxist, Islamist, anti-American Jew haters. That's not American at all. That's not America first, second, or third. No, they're aiding and abetting people who want to destroy the country. They want to destroy the country.
Fascistic, neo-Nazi, radical right. And that is no way to be talking about Tucker. It's too much. It's too far. It's dangerous. Turning points.
Wow, is this crazy, folks? Do you see it? Do you see it? Okay, because no matter what your Bible prophecy is, Israel's going to be an issue, isn't it? Huh? Israel's going to be an issue. And Israel right now is dividing the conservative movement. And you heard Levin say, maybe he can pull, well, maybe we need to hear that again. Let's get that back up. We're going to hear Levin explain to us what conservatism is. And friends, it ain't Christianity. It ain't out of his own mouth. Out of his own mouth. Let's listen to him talk about conservatism. Go ahead.
Radical right. And by the way, I'm not talking about constitutional conservatives. Not in the least. We're not on the radical right. We're right in the center. And I don't mean ideologically. I mean, we're right in the center. We support the Constitution, the Declaration, founding, and everything that was done to create this nation. How can we be right wing? Right wing of what? These people are not America first.
These people, me?
America first isn't evil over good. America first isn't tyranny over liberty. America first isn't sounding like the Marxist, Islamist, anti-American Jew haters. That's not American at all. That's not America first, second, or third. No, they're aiding and abetting.
You better understand this. You better understand this. Folks, I'm sorry. Believe whatever you want to believe, but I'm going to tell you this. Mark Levin is Israel first. Let there be no doubt about it. He's Israel first. He just made that very, very clear. Rest of us are phony conservatives. We're phony right-wingers. He's got it right. His wing, they got it right. Paul Webb, come in.
Hey, Coach, I would just say to Mark Levin, that's what I would say. If you're so strong in your opinion, go debate Tucker. If you're so strong in what you believe, go debate him. You got nothing to fear.
No. But see, what they did, Paul, is he showed us that not all conservatives are Christians. Did we see that right? And what is conservatism? I need that T-shirt. Conservatism. Hang on. Stay right there. Stay right there. Don't go away. Been wearing it for how long? What's it say? Conservatism is pretend salt. It's pretend salt. And folks, that's what they've been selling us. Conservatism. Conservatism. Can two walk together lest they agree? Does Mark Levin believe in Jesus Christ? No.
But Coach, you know, you're talking the other day of that. That's why Marjorie Taylor Greene is being opposed, because she decided to speak against Israel.
Yeah, you can't do
that. That's the bottom line right there.
Come on, folks.
I mean, you may not agree with everything she's doing, but because she decided to speak up about it, then she's on their hit list.
Amen. She is. Hey, Spencer, I don't know why my green's bleeding. I got a green screen back here, folks. This isn't a real stadium. When I brought that red in, it messed everything up, I think. Let's see. Come on in, Jack.
Yeah, Levin is also very much pushing convention of states, And look at what's going on with the Heritage Foundation. It's crumbling because it was totally controlled by the Israel First lobby, and they're bailing out. I've watched Heritage destroy Paul LePage's administration. See, the great conservative think tank that gave us NAFTA and GATT is the conservative fake salt. See, they're amongst us, and we got to have some discernment, people.
We do.
The three word cookie cutter fixes don't work.
Hey, folks, was Mark Levin exposed or what? Huh? Was that non-Christian conservatism exposed? You just saw it right there. You saw Mark Levin does not believe that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe it. Neither does Ben Shapiro. How do these guys get voices? How do they get such prominent voices? Why would I be able to go on there on Fox News and question Israel? I'm just telling you the truth. Truth. You can accept it or not.
Coach, I have my hand up.
Go ahead, man.
Coach, you're finally seeing the challenge, the first challenging of Zionist indoctrination in America. You're finally seeing what's happening. And
including Trump, by the way. Including Trump.
I'm sorry, Coach. Let it fall where it may. You know, that's just what it is. But let me tell you, the true MAGA now, the true MAGA is Massey and Green Alliance. It's the Massey and Green Alliance in our government. That is the true MAGA face
America
of MAGA
first.
Now.
America
we just
first.
Redefined, Coach, the redefinement has begun. And it's a defined, we are defining what MAGA is. It isn't Donald Trump, and it isn't Israel, and it isn't AIPAC. It's the people who want everything back and make us a nation, an independent, sovereign nation again. That's what's happening.
That's what MAGA is. That's where I am. That's where I am. America first. That's where I am. Okay. Not Israel first. Not Germany first. Not Italy first. America first. That's where I am. Not Mexico first. America first. That's where I am. That's MAGA. And folks, I'm telling you, that fight is breaking out right in front of us right now as they're all positioning themselves, number one, to hang on to their own power, and number two, to be the next man up. That's it. They know the best way to be the next man up is not to be telling the truth about Israel. Sorry. I'm not arguing with you about Bible prophecy and God's children. I'm not, none of that stuff. That stuff can all be true. They are God's chosen people. I want to be America first. That's what MAGA is, and they hate it. They hate it. Judah hadn't been in here. Come on in, Judah.
Morning, Coach. Morning to the best team on the planet. You mentioned the Heritage Foundation. So obviously, the number one soapbox that funds the Heritage Foundation is the DeVos Amway Globalist Group. The Zionist group.
There you go.
And so what's fascinating is today, if we all recall that certain letter, the 17th letter, the 117th Congress actually made it illegal to talk about the Q operation. Why would they outlaw the Q operation? Let me dial this back for all those people who don't understand the operation that's going on. This is just an educational. And if people want to go and research it, it's good for your own ability to think for yourself, use your Bible, and then use your thinking over this topic. So January 6th occurred, right? And yes. So Mr. Cheney, today, what Donald Trump said in his first presidency, he said before then, we are going to find out who brought down these twin towers. That is his mission. We are going to find out who brought down these twin towers. Now, why did the 117th Congress outlaw Q postings? Because the last post basically talked about Israel will be last. Now, If anyone wants to go look up, today is Dick Cheney's funeral. Today is Dick Cheney's funeral, 11/20. I implore everybody to go look up Q Post 171. It says, good always overcomes evil. On today, that is a reverse 17/171. If you understand it, the whole operation, complete disclosure of identifying who brought down the Twin Towers.
Mm. We're going to get into all that.
Nothing's a coincidence, guys. And the thing is, we can't get butt hurt. We have to use our Bibles. We have to use intuition. We have to use thought process to be able to understand these messages and what's happening. They're taking back the Republic. There has to be an operation. You look at Marjorie Taylor Greene. You look at all these other people. They're working. Some people, the Alliance, are working together. You've got to understand, how do they disclose the information and outwit the adversary in terms of actually getting the information out?
Judd, what are they going to do? Folks, I'm just throwing this out there, okay? What are they going to do if they do a real 911 research and find out that the Mossad planted stuff inside the Trade Tower? How are they going to handle that?
It's already proven. So yeah. The disclosure of that is called D5. That's called D-class. Yeah. Again, that post, you go into 171, 172, and the one before it, it even says D5 is on the rise.
Folks, you better sit down and buckle up, because we're handed into some hot time. And if you think I hate Jews and I'm anti-Semitic, then you're brainwashed. Come on in, Lauren.
Just a real quick question, and I don't know if Judd can answer this or not, but why aren't they, like, why can't Mark Levin, and I know this just based on the Israel stuff, but why aren't they going after all of these Muslims and the Sharia law and, you know, women's rights and how you're supposed to treat women, and women are doing this, and now they're putting on, they're exhibiting how to wear a hijab in the police officers are showing women what to do in, you know, New York Square. I mean, isn't there an alliance of shutting down Sharia law and getting rid of this Islam thing besides the whole Obama thing? So that's a question that I have.
Well, I would say the answer to that is that's the job of the whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why won't Christians stand up and say, not in this country? No, 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 no. This is a Christian country, and jihad is against the law in this country. Why won't Christians say that? Why won't
we? And men stand up. This is a perfect opportunity, Christian men, to stand up and say, I'm going to protect a woman. There is no way that this is going to happen.
Amen. Amen. And that Islam promotes, look what Islam does to women's liberation. And the women are silent as can be. Why? Well, it's a whole nother one. Because we are under judgment. Huh? Yeah. Because we rejected the truth, it says in Thessalonians, the Lord will send a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. It's judgment of God. George Howard, quickly.
Yeah, did you see the Jake Lang up in Dearborn, Michigan, that went to their city council and basically disrupted the whole thing, and the Muslims went bonkers?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did, right? It's the truth, right? See, why is it not okay to identify what the real problem is? Why are we not allowed to do that, friends? It's political reasons, and that's what I say. People in Congress are owned, and there are certain places they will not go, and they couldn't give a damn about Donald Trump. They just want him to go away so things can go back to the way they used to be, and Republicans can be conservatives, and Democrats can be liberals, and we'll all get along. See you tomorrow.